This is the day which the Lord has made. We will. I love that. All right, you were just saving yourselves for that. I love it. This is the day which the Lord has made. We will rejoice and we will be glad in it. Man, sometimes it's tough choices we've got to make each day, isn't it? Dang, I have to celebrate this day and be glad in it. Okay, well, we'll do it, Lord. Thanks for you. So as you're turning to 2 Samuel chapter 12, we're talking about King David. Now, King David had some issues as he was going through his life. Issues like what? Adultery. There was some murder in there. There was some deception. He had a lot of deception. He had idolatry, pride, stubbornness, all these things for King David. Oh, and let's not forget that lack of self-control that he also had. And he struggled with these things. And you think, okay, God can't use that. And a lot of times we think in our life, God can't use us and our struggles and our sins and our stubbornness, whatever it is. But he also had some accomplishments. He brought the 12 tribes together in unity. He conquered Jerusalem. He brought the Ark of the Covenant back to Jerusalem. So he did some things that were good. But then David had a turning point in his life. And we'll read in 2 Samuel chapter 12, verse 1 through 15. And I want you to pay attention to what's happening in the story and who the actors are in the story and what's going on here. Then the Lord sent Nathan to David, and he came to him and said to him, "There were two men in one city, one rich, the other poor. The rich man had exceedingly many flocks and herds, but the poor man had nothing except one little ewe lamb." And it said he had bought it and he had nursed it, and they grew up together and went with him and with his children. It ate of his own food and drank from his own cup and lay in his bosom, and it was like a daughter to him. And a traveler came to the rich man who refused to take from his own flock or from his herd to prepare one for the wayfaring man who had come to him. But he took the poor man's lamb and prepared it for the man who had come. Now, verse 5, this is a pivotal point. It's a turning point for David. So David's anger was greatly aroused against the man, and he said to Nathan, "As the Lord lives, the man who has done this shall surely die, and he shall restore fourfold for the lamb, because he did this thing and because he had no pity." Well, that's great. David's up in arms and he's wanting to protect this poor guy. Then Nathan said to David in verse 7, "You are the man." Uh-oh. He just called him out on it. "You are the man. Thus says the Lord God of Israel, I anointed you king over Israel, and I delivered you from the hand of Saul. I gave you your master's house and your master's wives into your keeping, and gave you the house of Israel and Judah. And if that had been too little, I also would have given you much more." Let me just stop there. Nathan is sharing what God has given him to say to David. "I have given you this and this and this. And if it was too little, I also would have given you much more." Kish mentioned entitlement. We deserve, we should have, we worked hard, we whatever. If you think this is too little, the Lord may have more for you. But listen to what he said to David. "I would have given you much more. But why have you despised the commandment of the Lord to do evil in his sight? You have killed Uriah the Hittite with a sword. You have taken his wife to be your wife. You have killed him with the sword of the people of Ammon. Now, therefore, the sword shall never depart from your house, because you have despised me and have taken the wife of Uriah the Hittite to be your wife. Thus says the Lord, behold, I will raise up adversary against you from your own house, and I will take your wives before your eyes, and give them to your neighbor, and he shall lie with your wives in the sight of this son. For you did it secretly, but I will do this thing before all Israel, before the sun. So David said to Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. And Nathan said to David, the Lord also has put away your sin. Wow. We have a realization from David. I have sinned against the Lord. But then Nathan shares some compassion and truth from the Lord. The Lord has also put away your sin. He's forgiven him, and you shall not die. However, because by this deed you have given great occasion to the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme, the child also who is born to you shall surely die. Then Nathan departed to his house. And there's a lot packed in those 15 verses. My message is called Turning Point. We had a little laugh about that in our worship group because of things in the recent news. And I didn't think about that. I just thought this was a turning point for David. He's sinning. Nathan comes to him and tells him a story. He says, hey, there's this guy. And David is up in arms about it. And he's frustrated about it. Surely, this guy's going to pay. And then Nathan reveals truth to him from the Lord. He says, you are the man. Now, that's not a good thing. It's not like, you the man. It's not that type of thing. It's, you are the man in that story that is no good. And David had a realization that he had to come to, I've sinned before the Lord. Now listen, if you don't come to Wednesday night Bible studies, that's your business, but man, you are missing out. We've had some really good discussions the last couple weeks. And we talked about when we come face to face with our Savior. What's the turning point for us where we say, it's not about knowing you. It's about living for you. Dale, that stuck with me all week since Wednesday night. Are you living the life that you're reading or telling others about? Are we living that life? Are we living out our faith? Because if we're not, it's just lip service, right? It's just lip service. Lord, you're worthy of it all. See you later. I'm going to do whatever. We have to come to our turning point. Some of us may have. But David's in the midst of these things. Nathan confronts him. David has a realization, and that's the turning point for David. But the Lord says, you're going to lose your child. And he took his child from him. Now he gave him another one. But God used compassion and truth. Remember a couple weeks ago we talked about thrive in 25, come alive in 25, these different things. And I said, you've got to wake up. There's truth in that. And we can't hold back from the truth. Not when we're standing here. The truth is, some of us are asleep. And the Bible says, wake up. Because we never know the time. And so what we do matters. How we speak to one another and others that we know and don't know matters. You hear all the time different people saying, someone spoke into my life when I was young. I don't know who they were, but I've never forgot it, and it changed my life. You have the power to change people's lives with your word and with your action. God is calling us to be different. He is calling us to have a turning point in our life where we turn to Him. Now we say, that's great. This is the Old Testament. Now Jesus came. Is it the same there? Well, there's examples in the New Testament. Turn in your Bibles to John chapter 8. And as you're turning there, in John chapter 4, we have the woman at the well. And she said something about my husband. And Jesus said, that's not your husband. By the way, you've had a few before this. And that one you're with now isn't. And I keep getting confused. I'm reading it and I'm going, where does he say go and sin no more? He doesn't. He doesn't say it there. In John chapter 8, he says it to an adulterous woman. Yet another story. In John chapter 8, verse 1 through 12. And I love this. But Jesus went to the Mount of Olives. Now early in the morning, he came again into the temple, and all the people came to him. And he sat down and he taught them. Then the scribes and Pharisees brought to him a woman caught in adultery. Remember Wednesday night, I said, whenever there's trouble and people are dragging the disciples around, trying to throw them in jail and get them beaten, all these things, there generally is a group of Pharisees and scribes and usually Sadducees that are all in that group of wanting to do bad things. So they went and found this woman that was caught in adultery. And when they had set her in the midst, they said to him, to Jesus, teacher, this woman was caught in adultery in the very act. Now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned. But what do you say? Uh-oh, they're testing Jesus, trying to trick him or just simply test him. But what do you say? This they said, testing him that they might have something of which to accuse him. Always trying to do him wrong. But Jesus stooped down and wrote on the ground with his finger as though he did not hear. So when they continued asking him, he raised himself up and he said to them, he who is without sin among you, let him throw a stone at her first. And again, he stooped down and wrote on the ground. Then those who heard it, being convicted by their conscience, went out one by one, beginning with the oldest, even to the last. And Jesus was left alone. And the woman standing in the midst. When Jesus had raised himself up and saw no one but the woman, he said to her. Now listen again. This is just like God with David, with compassion and truth. He said, woman, where are those accusers of yours? Has no one condemned you? And she said, not one, Lord. And Jesus said to her, neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. Compassion and truth. Then Jesus spoke to them again, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. We got to be careful of that. He who follows me. Eric's message last week talked about Satan, the evil one, the enemy, a deceiver going around as though he is light. But Jesus says, follow me, for I am light. I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness. He also talked about the psalm, thy word is a lamp unto my feet. This is my flashlight to guide me and to keep me from stumbling. Now Jesus, again in the New Testament, shows this compassion and truth. Sometimes that truth is a little harsher, but he always tried to be compassionate. He tried to hang out and gather with those people that other people didn't hang out with. Like those nasty tax collectors. You know, and Jesus went and hung out with, and people didn't understand that. Hey, I'm coming to your house, he said. I'm going to hang out with you. Now, you know me, I like to look at these stories and pose the question, who are you in these accounts? Who are you in these accounts? Are you David, blind to the magnitude of his own sin? I mean, it's like he wasn't even aware of it. Oh my gosh, this guy's going to pay fourfold for these things that he had done. Are you blind to your own sin? Are you Nathan? Are you the loving, compassionate soul that said, hey, I want to tell you a little story. And the bad guy in it is you. And are we the ones that help people understand the sin that they're in? With compassion and with truth. Are you the woman caught in her own sin? Oh, Lord, here I am in the midst of this. I'm caught. Now what? Oh, now they're dragging me in front of people. And the woman at the well who wasn't even aware she was standing in the presence of Jesus. And he reminded her, hey, that who you seek, I'm him. I'm the guy. Are you searching for Jesus and not understanding he's right there in front of you? Now, I'll be careful how I say this, because we don't want to play Jesus. But are you Jesus or Nathan? Again, the compassionate one that comes and says, hey, by the way, crowd, back off here. You got some darkness of your own. So why don't you come confess your sins and then we'll have her do it after you all do yours. Are you Jesus saying, hold off a minute, people. Let's go easy on this woman. But then compassionately says, neither do I condemn you. And then truth. Go. Sin no more. You know, Eric and I have had talks over the years, and we talk constantly about, is it really that simple? The process is. The reality of it and the flesh part makes it difficult for us. But the reality is, yes, it's that simple. You just have to make that choice each and every time. Every time? I did it 9 out of 10 times. I did it right today, Lord. Here's my scorecard. 9 out of 10. Is that not good enough? We're to be his ambassadors. When we weren't his ambassador or his likeness, where did we mess up? Was it by ourselves? Was it with others? Where did we let him down? Where did we displease God? But then Jesus is in the presence of them again after he told the woman to go and sin no more. He said, I am the light of the world. I'm the light. I've come so that there is no more darkness. You do not have to live in darkness and in sin anymore. I am the light of the world. If you follow me, you shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. Now, some of us may remember when we were little and we followed our parents until we didn't. Something caught our eye over there and we turned left when our parents went straight. We follow them until we're distracted by something. There was a shiny little object, Jesus. And I was distracted, and I didn't think you'd mind. No, I didn't ask you about it. I just didn't think you'd mind. I mean, I thought I knew you pretty well. And I'd done it before and not got in trouble. So I didn't think you'd mind. I just went over and I did this. And I pursued that. And I idolized this. Yeah, Lord, I did those things too. He who follows me, not just he who knows me, he doesn't say that, does he? If you know me, you're good. No, he who follows me, that means you have to know him and then know about him and follow him. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness. Now, just like David stood there as Nathan compassionately and truthfully said, "You're the man." That story's about you, David. It's not about somebody else. That story is about you. David didn't blow him off. "Oh, be quiet. I'll stop the noise. I'll leave me alone. I'm living my life. I got to be who I got to be. I'm being true to myself." Jesus doesn't say that. God's word doesn't say that. Be true to yourself. He says, be true to me. Be faithful to me. Follow me. Adhere to my commandments. Understand my covenants. But better yet, church, understand what sin is in your life. Well, sin is a shackle in my life. Sin is a boundary. Sin is a wall. Keeps me from others. Keeps me from Jesus. Okay, great. You know what sin is in your life. Now, know what the sin is. I don't really know. We can help you out if you want to know. Just come ask Eric or I, Pastor Eric and I. We can probably point out some sin in your life. You can point out some sin in our life, you know. I mean, a lot of times this stuff isn't secret. I talk about mine half the time. Oh, that traffic. Whew. I'm a much better man. Thank you, Dwayne Chapman, for that. I'm a much better man because of that. What are you doing, Adam? I don't know. I gestured them. They weren't even looking at me. I did it for nothing. And I certainly didn't please Jesus. Wasn't pleasing God. Oh, I haven't overcome that sin. But I'm much better. And I have an awareness of it. David all of a sudden had an awareness of his sin and what had happened between him and God. And he said, "I have sinned against God." Jesus came that we may have light. And he allows us to have transformation. And he allows us to have freedom. And he desires for us to be inspired to change, to think and act differently. Think for just a second about somebody that spoke into your life. Recently or ages ago, just think about that person or those people that spoke into your life in a positive manner. Now, can you do this to somebody? I was at work the other evening, working late. And I thought about people that spoke into my life. And I thought about teachers. God love the teachers. Thank you. And I had some special teachers in high school that were encouraging, that were just good people. And most have passed away, but I looked one up, and that was in Albuquerque. You can find anything on the internet now. Oh, here's 27 numbers listed that guy. Okay. Disconnected. Okay, let me try this one. And I said, well, I don't know if this is the right person. And I left him a message. And I simply said, I want to thank you for speaking into my life, in the life of my brother and my sister. Said, you had such a positive impact on us, and there are lessons you taught us that I've never forgotten to this day. May not have been the right guy. I hope it was. Didn't call back. But we take opportunity to do those simple little acts to appreciate someone. God's desire for us is to go deeper and to follow Jesus Christ for a changed and transformed life and a renewed life. Where our life is changed, our heart is changed. Words and actions begin to change. And then when that happens, other people begin to notice a change in you. Something's different about you these days. Found Jesus. Committed my life to Christ. That's what happened to me. But we don't want to tell people that. I don't know, I just woke up in a good mood. Why? This is the day which the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. So I ask a couple questions today. Who are you in these stories? What's your turning point? I'm going to close with this. Psalm chapter 1 is where David responded. In Psalm 51, I don't know if I said Psalm 1, whatever. Psalm 51, it's David's prayer of repentance. And he said, have mercy upon me, O God, according to your loving kindness, according to the multitude of your tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions and my sin is always before me. Against you, you only have I sinned and done this evil in your sight, that you may be found just when you speak and blameless when you judge. Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin my mother conceived me. Behold, you desire truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part you will make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me hear joy and gladness, that the bones you have broken may rejoice. Hide your face from my sins, and blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence, and do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and uphold me by your generous spirit. Then I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners shall be converted to you. Isn't that amazing? And sinners shall be converted to you. Deliver me from the guilt of bloodshed, O God, the God of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud of your righteousness. O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth shall show forth your praise. For you do not desire sacrifice, or else I would give it. You do not delight in burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, broken and contrite heart. These, O God, you will not despise. Do good in your good pleasure to Zion. Build the walls of Jerusalem. Then you shall be pleased with the sacrifices of righteousness. with burnt offering and whole burnt offering. Then they shall offer bulls on your altar. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your merciful spirit. We thank you for your forgiveness. God, I pray today that we just take these lessons from David being blinded to his own sin. To a prophet that came to him with a word from God. Compassionately and lovingly, but in truth, showing David his sin. Lord, we thank you for David's awareness and his awakening to his sin. God, I pray today that we have an awakening to our sin in our lives. God, that we are awakened. Not for condemnation, but for transformation. Lord, that our heart is transformed and changed and opened to you and possibilities of who and what we can be in your sight and in your hands, molding us. God, I thank you for Jesus' words that simply said, go and sin no more. And then the reminder that he is the light of the world. And all who follow him shall no longer walk in darkness, but have the light of life. God, I pray today that we have the light of life in us, that we no longer walk in darkness. God, that we have a repentant heart, and a heart that desires to be Christ-like in the things that we do and in the things that we say to those we know and those we don't know. Lord, we know this world needs people to be different. And I pray today that this church has people that are different, that can make a difference, one person at a time. God, finally, I just pray that we go out this week and we speak life into somebody. It may be somebody we don't know. It may be somebody we've known for years. Lord, let us go out. Put action to our words. We say we're a Christ follower. Let us go speak life into others. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you.